Happy Sunday. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you today from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from a daily devotional called Jesus Calling, and I will also be reading to you from the Holy Bible. And today, we will finish the book of Exodus. And as we do on every Sunday, we start our time in prayer. So if we can bow our heads and take a couple deep breaths, and we invite God and His Holy Spirit into our hearts, minds, and bodies. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful week. We thank You for this glorious day. Father, we are so grateful to have this time. We're so grateful to You, Lord, to have our families and friends and loved ones surrounding us and comforting us and providing for us. And Lord, we ask that You open our hearts to be able to provide the same for our friends and for our family and for those we don't even know. Lord, we thank You for the North Carolina Reading Service and the fine people that donate their time and resources to provide programs like this and many others. And Lord, we want to thank You very much for each and every one of our listening audience. Lord, please bless them and guide them and protect them. Lord, fill their hearts with Your love and the love of Your Holy Son, Jesus. We ask this in His holy name. Amen. So last week we learned yet again that the people of Israel they were stiff-necked. They had short memories. They convinced Aaron, who was Moses' brother, to build a god made of gold, and it was built in the image of a calf. It was the golden calf. Now, keep in mind, here is the Israeli people, the people that Moses, the instrument from which God asked to do this, left Egypt. The Israeli people left Egypt. They crossed the depths of the deep sea with the walls of the deep sea of the sea on either side, the Red Sea on either side, and they God provided them manna, and He provided them water, and provided them with many things and many miraculous signs. And here they kind of forgot all about God in a very short period of time. Moses had gone up to the mount to visit with God and been there for a period of time. And the Israeli people they had very short memories. They convinced Aaron to build this golden calf. Well, God was not happy. Moses was not happy. God reads our hearts, and if our hearts are irreparable, if our hearts will never come to God, God knows that. And God actually punished with death about 3,000 Israelis because of this particular sin. And the sin was, of course, of worshiping a god other than God. So we had that last week. We also remember that God reaffirmed the promises that God had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they will go into the promised land, and He directed him to get them there. And that's kind of where we go. So what we'll do today is we're going to finish the book of Exodus. It will be chapter 36 through 40. And it's going to be a tough read, and it's going to be a tough read in that fact that there's a lot of direction here. God is having them build the Ark of the Covenant and all its surroundings and contents. But there's a reason God's very specific. And God's very specific with us. He wants us to obey Him. He wants us to be obedient. Jesus was obedient to the point of death. He was obedient on the cross. And He asked us to be obedient as well. And this is a great demonstration, today's reading, of obedience. God has a plan. He wants us to live to that plan. And very simply, the plan is to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, minds, and souls. And the way we do that is through having faith in Christ. So before we get to chapter 36, I do want to go to Sarah Young's book, Jesus Calling, and read today's devotional. And it reads, "Living in dependence on Me is the way to enjoy abundant life." You are learning to appreciate tough times because they amplify your awareness of my presence. Tasks that you used to dread are becoming rich opportunities to enjoy my closeness. When you feel tired, you remember that I am your strength. You take pleasure in leaning on me. I am pleased by your tendency to turn to me more and more frequently, especially when you are alone. When you are with other people, you often lose sight of my presence. Your fear of displeasing people puts you in bondage to them, and they become your primary focus. When you realize this has happened, whisper my name. This tiny act of trust brings me to the forefront of your consciousness, where I belong. As you bask in the blessing of my nearness, my life can flow through you to others. This is abundant life. Two scripture references. Proverbs 29:25 reads, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." In John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Thank you, Miss Young. Beautiful words of encouragement, as always. Well, let's pick up with chapter 36, and let's see if we can get to the end of Exodus today. Thank you again for joining us, and I ask you to please bear with me through this through these readings. Again, they'll be a little tough. So Bezalel, Oholiab, and other skilled craftspeople were constructing the sanctuary, and they are to do the work just as the Lord had commanded. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left their work and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more and more stuff for doing the work the Lord had commanded." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they had already brought was more than enough to do all the work. The tabernacle. All the skilled men among the workmen made the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, with cherubim working into them by a skilled craftsman. All the curtains were the same size, 28 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. They joined 5 of the curtains together and did the same on the other with the other 5. Then they made loops of blue material along the edge of the end of the curtain in one set. And remember, a cubit is roughly 36 inches. I think it's actually 39. The same was done on the other end of the curtain in the other set. They also made 50 loops on one curtain and 50 loops on the other end of the curtain of the other set, with the loops opposite each other. Then they had made 50 gold clasps and used them to fasten the two sets of curtains together so that the tabernacle was a unit. They made curtains of goat hair for the tent over the tabernacle, 11 altogether. All 11 curtains were the same size, 30 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. They joined 5 of the curtains into one set and the other 6 into the other set. Then they made 50 loops along the edge of the curtain in one set and also along the edge of the other set. They made 50 bronze clasps to fasten the tent together as a unit. Then they made the tent covering of ram skins dyed red, and over that a covering of hides of sea cows. They made upright frames of acacia wood for the tabernacle. Each frame was 10 cubits long and a cubit and a half wide, with 2 projections set parallel to each other. They made all the frames of the tabernacle in this way. They made 20 frames from the south side of the tabernacle and made 40 silver bases to go under them, 2 bases for each frame, 1 under each projection. For the other side, the north side of the tabernacle, they made 20 frames and 40 silver bases, 2 under each frame. They made 6 frames from the far end, that is, the west end of the tabernacle, and 2 frames were made for the corners of the tabernacle at the far end. At these 2 corners, the frames were doubled from the bottom all the way to the top and fitted into a single ring. Both were made alike. So there were 8 frames and 16 silver bases, 2 under each frame. They also made crossbars of acacia wood, 5 for the frames on one side of the tabernacle, 5 for those on the other side, and 5 for the frames on the west at the far end of the tabernacle. They made this center crossbar so that it extended from the end to end at the middle of the frames. They overlaid the frames with gold and made gold rings to hold the crossbars. They also overlaid the crossbars with gold. They made the curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and finely twisted linen with cherubim working into it by a skilled craftsman. They made 4 posts of acacia wood for it and overlaid them with gold. They made gold hooks for them and cast their 4 silver bases. For the entrance of the tent, they made a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer. And they made 5 posts with hooks for them. They overlaid the tops of the posts and their bands with gold and made 5 bronze bases. The Ark, chapter 37. Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. He overlaid it with pure gold, both inside and out, and made a gold molding around it. He cast 4 gold rings for it and fastened them to its feet, with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other. Then he made poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold, and he inserted the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry it. He made the atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. Then he made 2 cherubim out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover. He made 1 cherub on the one end and the second cherub on the other. At the 2 ends, he made them of 1 piece with a cover. The cherubim had their wings spread upward, overshadowing the cover with them. The cherubim faced each other, looking toward the cover. They made the table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Then they overlaid it with pure gold and made a gold molding around it. They also made around it a rim of handbreadth wide and put a gold molding on the rim. They cast 4 gold rings for the table and fastened them to the 4 corners where the 4 legs were. The rings were put close to the rim to hold the poles used to carry the table. The poles for carrying the table were made of acacia wood, and they were overlaid with gold. And they made from pure gold the articles for the table, its plates and dishes and bowls, and its pitchers for the pouring out of drink offerings. The lampstand. They made the lampstand of pure gold and hammered it out, base and shaft, its flower-like cups. Buds and blossoms were of 1 piece with it. 6 branches extended from the sides of the lampstand, 3 on one side, 3 on the other. 3 cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms were on 1 branch, 3 on the next branch, and the same for all 6 branches extending from the lampstand. And on the lampstand were 4 cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms. 1 bud was under the first pair of branches extending from the lampstand, a 2nd bud under the 2nd pair, and a 3rd bud under the 3rd pair. 6 branches in all. The buds and the branches were all of 1 piece with the lampstand, hammered out of pure gold. They made its 7 lamps, as well as its wick trimmers and trays of pure gold. They made the lampstand and all of its accessories from 1 talent of pure gold. The altar of incense. They made the altar of incense out of acacia wood. It was square, 1 cubit long, and 1 cubit wide, and 2 cubits high. Its horns of 1 piece with it. They overlaid the top and all the sides and the horns with pure gold and made a gold molding around it. They made 2 gold rings below the molding, 2 on opposite sides to hold the cup poles used to carry it. They made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. They also made the sacred anointing oil and the pure, fragrant incense, the work of a perfumer. Chapter 38, the altar of burnt offering. They built the altar of burnt offering of acacia wood, three cubits high. It was square, 5 cubits long, and 5 cubits wide. They made a horn at each of its four corners, so that the horns and the table altar were of one piece, and they overlaid the altar with bronze. They made all of its utensils of bronze, its pots, shovels, sprinkling bowls, meat forks, and fire pans. They made a grating for the altar, a bronze network to be under its ledge, halfway up the altar. They cast bronze rings to hold the poles of the four corners of the bronzing grating. They made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze. They inserted the poles into the rings so that they would be on the sides of the altar for carrying it. They made it hollow out of boards. The basin for washing. They made the bronze basin and its bronze stand for the mirrors of the women who served at the entrance to the tent offering. The courtyard. Next, they made the courtyard. The south side of the was 100 cubits long and had curtains of finely twisted linen, with 20 posts and 20 bronze bases, and with silver hooks and bands on the post. The north side also was 100 cubits long and had 20 posts and 20 bronze bases, with silver hooks and bands on those posts. The west end was 50 cubits wide and had curtains with 10 posts and 10 bases with silver hooks and bands on the post. The east end toward the sunrise also had 50 cubits wide. Curtains 15 cubits long were on each side of the entrance with 3 posts and 3 bases, and curtains 15 cubits long were on the other side of the entrance to the courtyard with 3 posts and 3 bases. All the curtains around the courtyard were of finely twisted linen. The bases for the posts were bronze, the hooks and the bands on the posts were silver, and their tops were overlaid with silver, so all the posts of the courtyard had silver bands. The curtain for the entrance to the courtyard was blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer. It was 20 cubits long, and like the curtains of the courtyard, 5 cubits high, 4 posts and 4 bronze bases. Their hooks and their bands were silver, and their tops were overlaid with silver. All the tent pegs of the tabernacle and the surrounding courtyard were bronze. The materials used. These are the amounts of materials for the tabernacle of the testimony, which were recorded at Moses' command by the Levites under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made everything the Lord commanded Moses. With him was Eliab, son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, a craftsman and designer and an embroiderer in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen. The total amount of the gold from the wave offering used for all the work on the sanctuary was 29 talents and 730 shekels, according to the sanctuary shekel. The silver obtained from those of the community who were counted in the census was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels, according to the sanctuary shekel. One beka per person, that is, half a shekel, according to the sanctuary shekel, from everyone who had crossed over to those counted 20 years older or more, a total of 603,550 men. The 100 talents of silver were used to cast the bases for the sanctuary and for the curtain bases. From the 100 talents, 1 talent from each base. They used 1,775 shekels to make the hooks for the posts, to overlay the tops of the posts, and to make their bands. The bronze from the wave offering was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. They used it to make the bases for the entrance of the tent meeting, the bronze altar, and the bronze grating for all of its utensils, the bases for the surrounding courtyard, and those for its entrances, and all the tent pegs for the tabernacle and those of the surrounding courtyard. Chapter 39, Priestly Garments. From the blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, they made woven garments for ministering in the sanctuary. They also made sacred garments for Aaron, as the Lord had commanded Moses. The ephod. They made the ephod of gold and of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and of finely twisted linen. They hammered out thin sheets of gold and cut strands to be worked into the blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, the work of a skilled craftsman. They made shoulder pieces for the ephod, which were attached to its two corners so it could be fastened. Its skillfully woven waistband was like it, one piece with the ephod and made with gold, and with blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and with finely twisted linen, as the Lord had commanded Moses. They mounted the onyx stones in gold filigree settings and engraved them like a seal with the names of the sons of Israel. Then they fastened them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. So keep in mind, Israel, of course, was Joseph, was Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons who became the 12 sons of Israel, who became the 12 tribes of Israel. And thus, that's where they're commemorated. And Levi being one of the signs, and all the Levites became the priest. Judah being one of the sons, I think he was the fourth oldest son. Judah was the family of Jesus Christ, David, and so on. The breastpiece. They fashioned the breastpiece, the work of a skilled craftsman. They made it like the ephod of gold and of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and of finely twisted linen. It was square, a span long and a span wide, and double folded. Then they mounted four rows of precious stones on it. In the first row there was a ruby, a topaz, and a beryl. In the second was a turquoise, a sapphire, and an emerald. In the third row was jacinth, an agate, and amethyst. And in the fourth row, a crystallite, an onyx, and a jasper. They were mounted in gold filigree settings. There were 12 stones, one for each of the names of the sons of Israel, each engraved like a seal with the name of one of the tribes. For the breastpiece, they made braided chains of pure gold like a rope. They made two gold filigree settings and two gold rings and fastened the rings to two of the corners of the breastpiece. They fastened the two gold chains to the rings at the corners of the breastpiece, and at the other ends of the chains of the two settings, attached them to the shoulder pieces of the ephod at the front. They made two gold rings and attached them to the other corners of the breastpiece on the inside edge next to the ephod. Then they made two more gold rings and attached them to the bottom of the shoulder pieces on the front of the ephod, close to the seam just above the waistband of the ephod. They tied the rings of the best breastpiece to the rings of the ephod with blue cord, connecting it to the waistband so that the breastpiece would not swing out from the ephod, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Other priestly garments. They made the robe of the ephod entirely of blue cloth, the work of a weaver, with an opening at the center of the robe, like the opening of a collar, and a band around its opening so that it would not tear. They made pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen around them, around the hem of the robe. And they made bells of pure gold and attached them around the hem between the pomegranates. The bells and the pomegranates alternated around the hem of the robe to be worn for ministering, as the Lord had commanded Moses. For Aaron and his sons, they made tunics of fine linen, the work of a weaver, and the turban of fine linen, the linen headbands, and the undergarments of finely twisted linen. The sash was of finely twisted linen and purple, blue, and scarlet yarn, the work of an embroiderer, as the Lord had commanded Moses. They made the plate, the sacred diadem, out of pure gold and engraved on it, like an inscription on a holy seal, and it read, "Holy to the Lord." Then they fastened the blue cord to it to attach it to the turban, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses inspects the tabernacle. So all the work on the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, was completed. The Israelites did everything just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its furnishings, its clasps, frames, crossbars, posts, and bases, the covering of ramskins dyed red, the covering of hides of sea cows, and the shielding curtain, the Ark of the Testimony with its poles and the atonement cover, the table of all of its articles and the bread of the presence, the pure gold lampstand with its rows of lamps and all of its accessories, and the oil for the light, the gold altar, the anointing oil, the fragrant incense, and the curtain for the entrance of the tent, the bronze altar and its bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, and the basin with its stand, the curtains of the courtyard and its posts and bases, and the curtain of the entrance to the courtyard, the ropes and tent pegs for the courtyard, all the furnishings for the tabernacle, the tent meeting, and the two woven garments worn for ministering in the sanctuary, both the sacred garments for Aaron and the priest, and the garments for his sons when serving as priests. The Israelites had done all the work just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses inspected the work and saw that what they had done was just as the Lord had commanded. So Moses blessed them. Chapter 40. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, on the first day of the first month. Place the ark of the testimony in it, and shield the ark with the curtain. Bring in the table and set out what belongs on it. Then bring in the lampstand and set up its lamps. Place the gold altar of incense in front of the ark of the testimony, and put the curtain at the entrance of the tabernacle. Place the altar of the burnt offering in front of the entrance of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Place the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar, and put water in it. Set up the courtyard around it, and put the curtain at the entrance of the courtyard. Take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and everything in it. Consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it will be holy. Then anoint the altar of burnt offerings and all of its utensils. Consecrate the altar, and it will be most holy. Anoint the basin and its stands and consecrate them. Bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then dress Aaron in sacred garments, anoint him and consecrate him so he may serve me as priest. Bring his sons and dress them in tunics, anoint them just as you anointed their father so that they may serve me as priest. Their anointing will be to a priesthood that will continue for all generations to come." Moses did everything just as the Lord had commanded. So the tabernacle was set up on the first day of the first month in the second year. When Moses set up the tabernacle, he put the bases in place, erected the frames, inserted the crossbars, and set up the post. Then he spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering over the tent, as the Lord had commanded him. He took the testimony and placed it in the ark, attached the poles to the ark, and put the atonement cover over it. Then he brought the ark into the tabernacle and hung the shield curtain, and shielding the ark of the testimony, as the Lord had commanded him. Moses placed the table in the tent of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the curtain, and set out the bread on it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded him. He placed the lampstand at the tent of meeting opposite the table of the south side of the tabernacle, and set up lamps before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded him. Moses placed the gold altar in the tent meeting in front of the curtain, and the burnt fragrant incense on it, as the Lord had commanded him. Then he put up a curtain to the entrance of the tabernacle. He set the altar of burnt offering near the entrance of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and offered a burnt offering and grains and a grain offering, as the Lord had commanded him. He placed the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it, washing, and Moses and Aaron and his sons used it to wash their hands and feet. They washed whenever they entered the tent of meeting and approached the altar, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and the altar and put up the curtain of the entrance to the courtyard as Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel during their travels. Well, we've just concluded Exodus. I want to thank you very much for listening today. We've run out of time for today's program of reflections. Be sure to listen to us next week at the same time. We hope you've enjoyed our program. My name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of our program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. If you have any questions or comments, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. May God bless you and those you love this day and every day.